Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
What's up, everyone? Freddy the Pizza Man here, host of the Pizza Man podcast. Now joining forces with ChristopherMedia.net. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, the Pizza Man podcast. And, of course, find all the podcasts on ChristopherMedia.net. We talk Detroit sports. I bring on guests, passions, opinions, all for Detroit sports and more. We even talk pizza. So thanks for tuning in and spread the word.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, everybody, welcome to episode 105 of Beer Nuts. I'm JR here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on vacation. With us, we have Uncle Pete back in Michigan.
Uncle Pete here in Rockwood, yep.
We have Dugout also in Michigan.
Yep, Dugout in Clawson.
And Ross from Durham, North Carolina. Welcome, Ross.
Nice to be back.
So the theme for tonight's show is Road Warriors. We used to do Road Warriors fairly frequently when one of us was on the road or one or more of us was on the road. And I don't know why we've waited so long since we've done one. I guess we kind of thought we were getting lazy when we were doing those. But it's actually a very... a cool topic to do because you're able to introduce breweries that maybe aren't in your wheelhouse or in your backyard that you standardly would review on the show. So I've been doing quite a bit of traveling this summer, and I'm visiting my dad in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was just in Atlanta. I was in Cincinnati this summer, and most recently before Louisiana, Orlando. So lots of good beers discovered along the way. So, as always, we invite all our listeners, crack open a cold one, unless you're driving, and enjoy a beer. No matter what you enjoy, it's fine with us. We're not pretentious. We're not beer snobs. We just want to introduce more good people to more good beer. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dugout for our quote of the week.
All right. So, the quote of the week is from Humphrey Bogart. And it is, the problem with the world, and I just interjected this, other than too much social media, is that everyone is a few drinks behind.
Amen. And it's not a problem for us because we're going to have a few good drinks tonight. So, let's get right down to business. As I mentioned, I've gone through several cities. I could do this in chronological order, but I'm going to save Ellipsis Brewing for last. So that was one of them I discovered in Orlando. I'm going to go right into a Baton Rouge brewery since that's where I'm at. For a beer that I just discovered last night at Tin Roof Brewing Company. It's called Uber Fruit. It's appropriate for the first beer of the night because it's a lower ABV, but it is a Berliner Weiss tart ale brewed with blackberries and lactose. So most of you will probably be surprised because I'm not a big sour or a fruity beer guy, but this one I really enjoyed, and so much so that I was so impressed that I thought I'd introduce it on the show. So I'm going to open this right now. It's in a 12-ounce can, and I love that it has the independent craft brewer seal on there. To recall a few episodes, we trumpeted that, so... nice small independent brewery here in Baton Rouge, Tin Roof Brewing. I'm going to pour this. I just had a couple of these last night. So it's remarkable that I would actually get one more of these, more than one of these at the brewery, but that's how good it was. So it pours a nice ruby red. Kind of looks like almost like a ruby red grapefruit, maybe a little darker than that. The nice thick carbonation, like a two-finger head that's it's taking its time going down, but it's a nice pink color. So a lot of fruit visible in this. It's a little bit hazy. And I'm going to take a whiff. You can get that nice fruity blackberry aroma on the nose, lots of fruit. And I'm going to taste this now. And I know when I first saw this, I thought, oh, this is going to be a real tart one. And it's not very tart, probably because there's lactose in it. So that sweetens it up and it makes it really delicious. It cuts a little bit of the tartness. It's very, very, ever so slightly tart. But really, really enjoyable. And last night when I went to the brewery, mentioned to some of you guys, there was a famous homebrewing personality there, John Palmer, who, for those of you who are homebrewers, have probably heard of or own his book, How to Brew. So kind of a legend in the industry. He was doing a presentation on brewing water and water chemistry. So it was a real treat to get to meet him. And his presentation was outside on the porch where it was pretty hot last night in the 90s, hot and humid. So this was just a perfect beer to listen to his presentation and enjoy a beer in the outdoors in the Southern Heat down here. And it's just really enjoyable. Again, rare that I would introduce this beer. There were several other styles, including a barley wine and a couple of New England IPAs that I easily could have chosen over this. But I just thought this was perfect for the occasion last night and for the climate down here. And it's really one of the best Berliners I've ever had. And I bought a six-pack at the brewery, and I will make sure that you guys, you other beer nuts here, get to taste this. This is really enjoyable. I know you'll agree when you taste it. It's called Uber Fruit. So wonderful, easy drinker, fruity. It's 4.5% ABV. I'm going to read from the can. Blackberry flavor dominates this sweet and refreshingly tart ale. Flaked oats, wheat, and lactose add sweetness and body, further enhancing the blackberry flavor, while subtle tartness helps to balance out the beer. And that's about it. It's just a really, really easy, delicious beer to drink.
Uber for when you don't always need a ride.
Yeah, well, that was another factor in my deciding to have two of these, because I was driving, and I'm not that familiar with the area. It wasn't a tough drive. I'm mostly one road, but you know what? You have to be responsible and watch what you're drinking these days. And when I can find a beer that's 4.5% and tastes this good, I all day long, I'm on it.
I think Berliner Weiss is really becoming more popular too.
Oh, I agree.
You're starting to see more and more of them on the lists at the breweries.
And, you know, perfect for the hot summer weather.
Yeah.
And combined well with fruits and, a lot of citrus fruit combines well with it. So very easy, nice summer beer.
So, yeah, great time at Tin Roof last night with the John Palmer presentation. I bought the Out of Brew book, had him sign it. And his signature said, "Brew unto others as you would have them brew to you." So, cheers to John Palmer. Great to meet him last night. And that's about it. I'm going to move on and let Dugout introduce his beer.
Okay. So, what I have here is a beer called Drain the Swamp. It's a double IPA, and it's from Bare Hands Brewery in Granger, Indiana. If you're not familiar where Granger is, it's sort of a suburb of South Bend. I think I've reviewed some stuff from them before, at least one other beer from them before. This is a specialty release. It's sort of a New England style double IPA. Get right into the beer. It's 8% brewed with massive additions of late boil and whirlpool hops. We dry hop not once, but twice after fermentation to add huge hop aromas and flavors. Shine behind a soft mouthfeel and a minimal bitterness. Get hazy, don't be lazy. So, and it sure does pour hazy. That's pretty nice head on this beer. Nose is really heavy fruit, mangoes, pineapples, peach, maybe a little touch of grapefruit, but mostly some really nice tropical fruits. And as I said, pours are pretty hazy. Let me just give this guy a sip. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of hops in this. And there is quite a heavy bitterness to the finish of it, which as a New England isn't very typical of them, but as an IPA drinker, I find that very welcome and very nice. It's boy, what a nice beer. Super creamy mouthfeel. It's almost like you're chewing on marshmallows. Really digging this beer. I had I had tried some at the brewery a few weeks ago when I was in there. It's sort of in a very tucked away, medium level industrial park. And there's some old couches in there and a nice bar and just some really nice people. So if you're ever in and around South Bend area, I would definitely recommend stopping in there. There was an interesting article about them. They were going to move to downtown South Bend, sort of on the south side of it, which is currently undergoing a revitalization. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that area, but that south side of and in downtown was pretty run down and pretty tacky and just nothing going on there. And so they struck a deal with Bare Hands Brewery to take this building. Well, now there's a dispute. South Bend, the city of South Bend is suing Bare Hands to get out of the contract, saying Bare Hands missed contractual agreements. Bare Hands comes out and says, no, we didn't. They just feel that they found another buyer and they could get more money, and so they're looking for a loophole. So quite a conundrum for these guys. Feel bad for them because they do just do some awesome things. They've got some fantastic creative beers, and everything I think they do is, you know, super good. And a little pricier when you see the cans in the shops. You see them mostly around Indiana. Great artwork, by the way. Really great graphics, sort of fun stuff. But back to the beer, fantastic. If you see it, get it. Absolutely.
Anybody there?
Yeah, I finished my review.
Okay. Oh, no. You know what? I had mute on. I had asked you, actually, if they distribute at all or if it's brewery only.
Yeah, no, they distribute around Indiana. I've seen them as far down as Indianapolis area. I'll be down there in a couple weeks, so if I see any, I definitely pick some up, although it's starting to get a little bit more of age on it, so might not be as easy to find. Pretty much most of their stuff sells out, but there might be a place to pick it up down there, and maybe I can share a few cans with you guys.
Sounds awesome. We'll have to have a swap when we get back.
Yeah, it's the bitter end of a New England IPA. You know, it's got all that front activity of New England IPA where it's juicy but finishes bitter, and man, you can tell there's a punch of hops in here. Jeez.
Just the way you like them.
Absolutely.
All right, Pete. Well, I think you're next on the docket. Tell us what you have.
Sounds good. Well, I'm not on the road, although I consider myself a worthy road warrior. And I will say that since around mid-May, I've been on the road several times in my RV, all within Michigan. And I kind of sat down and thought, how many breweries did I visit? And I came up with a list of 13 within those last couple of months here. So I have been a warrior on the road, and I've hit 13 breweries within Michigan. And unfortunately, I didn't have any of the beer left over that I bought at any of those breweries, so I ended up going out to buy some for the show tonight. It is a good beer, though. This is the Taz IPA. It's a Galaxy India Pale Ale from New Holland Brewing in Holland, Michigan. And we've covered a number of New Holland beers in the past, and I don't think we ever hit on this one. But Galaxy being a hop, a bittering and aroma hop, coming from the land down under in Australia. And it also contains Nelson Sauvin hops, which I think are from New Zealand. So the interesting on the can, the artwork on the can has Taz with the word IPA below it, but the word IPA is inverted, so it connotates that it comes from down under. Okay, so I got a nice cold one here. I'll pour it up. All right. Pours a very nice yellow, clear, very clear, crystal clear yellow color with a really, really good white frothy head. Lots of carbonation. The aroma, it smells a little bit tropical. Has a nice fruity aroma. Right away, hop punch. I detect some acidity, kind of a pineapple punch to it, and then the hops have a very drying effect on the palate. Yep, nice tropical fruit notes in there. A lot of pineapple influence. The hop bitterness is pronounced. Let's see what it says here. I think it's 6% ABV and 50 IBU. So 50 IBU on the bitterness. I think the bitterness flavor outdoes the hop aroma, although the aroma was present. 6% alcohol. I don't get any kind of alcohol to it. It's, I don't know if I'd call this very balanced. I don't get a whole lot of malt effect. It's, to me, a fairly decent hop bomb. I think Galaxy and Nelson Sauvin hops are pretty high alpha acid hops. So it stands to reason in my mind that for bitterness, those are going to be very upfront and pronounced. And they are. I like it. It's a different hop profile than a lot of pale ales that I've had. Most pale ales that have your, Citras and Chinooks and Cascades and Amarillos, much different hop flavor altogether with this Galaxy and Nelson Sauvin combination. Very pleasant. I'd recommend it to give it, if you ever come across it, to give it a try. And the neat thing about New Holland is they have a whole number of canned and bottled selections. They got the Mad Hatter series, a White Hatter, Tasmanian, I think it's Tasmanian Hatter. So a whole bunch of IPA style beers with different hop profiles. So this Taz IPA with hops from down under is very interesting. Don't know if anybody's had it, but I'm enjoying this one and would be glad to save one for you.
Yeah, I've definitely had that one.
Overall, very good.
Yeah, I've definitely had that. I was at the brewery the night after I was at...
Any comments on the... Anybody had beers with Galaxy and Nelson Sauvin?
Yeah, I can hear Doug. Doug had some comments.
He must be on mute, JR.
I could hear him. You didn't hear him?
No.
You there, Doug?
Yeah.
Can you still hear me? Yeah, what were you saying? I can.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, edit, Chris. Edit.
What happened?
I don't think Pete can hear me at all.
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, all right. I was just... All right, let's start from where I was commenting. 1, 2, 3, go. I was just at the brewery the night after I was at Bare Hands. Went to New Holland, and they had some fantastic beers on tap. That one happened to be there. Had one of those. Phenomenal. Had a couple others that were just off the charts. A really good time, too.
Nice thing about their tap room in Holland is they do a number of tap room only beers, too. So it's always fun to go there and see what they've got that, isn't in a bottle or can.
Exactly. And then they have different beers at the Holland location from the Grand Rapids location, which is called the Knickerbocker.
Right.
And that place is really impressive as well.
I've seen it in stores, and I've always wanted to try it. I like anything with Galaxy, so I'm sure I would like it. Hello?
Hello? That door is wide open.
I think David might be on.
David, are you there?
Yeah.
I didn't think I left it open.
Well,
hey, guys, David, I'm here.
Looks like we have a late addition to the show, so welcome, David. I guess that was David's dog causing all the ruckus in the background, but welcome. David was having some problems connecting. We got David.
Everything okay?
Hello?
falling down the stairs.
Is David still with us? Hello?
All right.
That was some drama.
Carry on.
All right, carry on. Yeah, let's move on to Russ.
Okay. So what I decided to do was the Oak Age Vanilla Worldwide Stout. Technically, I did not get this summer. I got it last summer. I made a special trip up to the Melton Brewery to get it. They were having they hadn't made the Vanilla Oak Age before. And they were also having, if you went to Milton, they had a special four-pack of older, regular Worldwide Stouts. So it made it kind of attractive to go there. You could get a four-pack of the 9, the 10, the 11, and the 13. And the bottles of 9 were actually signed by Sam. They limited that to like the first 40-ish people that were at Milton. So I got in line relatively early and got that four-pack and got a case of the Oak Age Vanilla Worldwide. So
you say this poor network connection. I'm freaking got
Dave, fucking bars. David.
Okay. Dave, it's Uncle Pete. Can you hear me?
Could you hear all that?
Yeah, I heard all that.
Yeah, I heard it.
Bizarre. How is he coming in? I see something.
His Skype may be up.
Is there any way to cut it? David Miller left.
It just says he left. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well.
All right. Chris, you're going to have your... Chris got his work cut out.
Hey, High Life's finally here.
High Life, we've been hearing like ins and outs and kind of been disruptive to the podcast, so... Are you good now?
Yeah, sorry about that. Like, I don't know what's going on with Skype. Like,
you were dropping F bombs, and there was like dog noises, and
oh shit, my bad. I didn't realize that was all being recorded and put onto the podcast. All right, that's my bad,
brother. Let's start over with Ross and just try to mute your microphone, David. If there's any, just mute your microphone except when you're talking, please.
Okay. All right, yeah, sounds good. Like, I didn't realize I had anything to mute, but all right.
All right.
Go ahead, Doug.
Ross, why don't you just start over, I guess.
Okay. So I took my Vanilla Oak Age Worldwide Stout is from last summer. That is when I made the road trip to get it. The Worldwide Stout, as we know, is something that you don't usually drink fresh. You're going to sit on it for a while. It's usually a very high ABV. And they actually put on the label for the Oak Age Vanilla Worldwide Stout age as well. So I decided to sit on this for almost a year now. I got it early August last year. So it's almost a year old now. And like I said, they had a special promotion where if you went to the Milton Brewery at the release event for this, there was a four-year package of 2009, 10, 11, and 13 Worldwide Stout available, and Sam had signed the 9 bottle. So I still have those four bottles for some future little party I'll have at some point. So I'm going to go ahead and crack the Worldwide now. And this thing is completely black. Nice tan head. Definitely on the smell, you definitely get vanilla. It's also, I'm going to tell you now, I had some at the brewery when I went for the release, and it was definitely hot at that point, so I knew I was going to sit on my bottles for a while. So we're going to, a little bit of, it's definitely still boozy, but the vanilla and the oak are there. So I'm going to give it a taste now. It has calmed down a little bit, but it's definitely still warming me up. It's definitely booze right up front. The vanilla and the oak are there as well. And I guess it's almost the coffee flavor coming on the back, but it's boozy throughout. It's actually really good. This is definitely a sipper, and I probably changed things up by going with a 16% beer.
But in comparison to the regular worldwide, I would say this might be a little sweeter. And I'm getting a little bit of bitterness on the back. Nothing overwhelming, but just there as I have a little more. The taste, a lot of the stuff I was kind of expecting out of this, being a variant of worldwide, I'm not really getting. It might be a little bit disappointing on how plain it is, but it is very boozy. It's definitely what it advertises to be as far as the vanilla and the oak, both on the taste and the smell. But anything else in it is kind of drowned out by how boozy it still is. It's actually, the more I'm having of it, it's still fairly hot. This may need even a little more time than I've already given it. So I may, give this another 6 or 8 months before I try to enjoy it again. Yeah, it's also definitely for sharing with friends, even 12-ounce bottles of it.
I got a couple in my cellar. I'm glad you reviewed it because it sounds like it needs more time there.
Yeah, it does.
Mellow out.
I'm trying to be kind, but I think it still needs time. It's definitely got potential, I guess. I'm a little disappointed. I think I remember it having a little more. There was a little more going on when I had it fresh at the brewery, but again, it was really overwhelmingly boozy there. So. We'll see how it goes. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think I just hyped it up a little much sitting on it for a year. I was expecting a lot more out of it, and I'm just kind of not getting it. And you know, I'm a Dogfish Head guy, so that kind of says something. That's about all I've got. It's not quite what I've expected, and it's a little bit still probably hot for me. So
right.
I'll leave it there.
All right. Anybody else had this one? Guess not. Well, mine, we're going to stay in the cellar for another year or two.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm holding on to mine.
Late edition. I've had this one. Had it on draft. So I believe it was up in the upper, up in Traverse City where I had it. And it was one of the last beers I had. It just put the nail in the coffin, so to speak. It was a big beer and it was heavy and. Wow.
It's a big hitter for sure. All right. Well, we have a late edition. David has joined us. High Life. So welcome back, High Life. We have a professional brewer now. How are things going up at North Center?
They're going great. This next week we'll actually be brewing one of my recipes as a big batch. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome.
It turned out to be a beer that I was just kind of made just to make it. It was my dark mild, and it came out really well and like basically flew off the shelves or, you know, flew off the tap. People liked it a lot. So Kevin was like, hey, yeah, we want you to make more of it, make a big batch of it. And I'm like, sweet, let's do it. So I'm really stoked about that.
All right. Well, looking forward to stopping by and visiting you and trying that out when I get back to Michigan.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, tell us about what you're going to review tonight for a Road Warriors episode.
Well, tonight, the first one I got is from Avery Brewing Company in Colorado, right?
Yep.
I believe, Colorado. And it's called Ellie's Brown Ale. And it's got, it's got like a little bit of a vanilla taste to it, but it's a nice, simple brown ale. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing of cracking the beer and pouring it because I already did that. I'm not going to lie. So here I'm going to taste it again for the second or third or fifth time. And yeah, it's got a little bit more of the carbonation bite than I would expect out of a brown ale. But for the most part, it's really clean. It's what I really like about brown ales. I don't like when you got brown ales, they're like super complicated and they're basically porters, you know, and like they're not really a brown ale. But to me, a brown ale is a nice beer that's got the nice dark color to it. It's got all the maltiness to it, but then it has that, it doesn't have that like heaviness to it. It's still a nice, light, drinkable, awesome beer. And I think this Ellie's Brown Ale from Avery did a good job with that. It's 5.5%, It's it doesn't have the IBUs listed, but it's not really distinguishable for the IBUs, so it's not really important. But yeah, and honestly, I'm not gonna lie. The 100% the reason I decided on this beer was there's a picture of a dog on it, and I don't know if you know anything about me as a brewer, but everything I do is named after a dog or something about a dog. So yeah, I saw a picture of a cute, you know, brown lab on the front of this can, and I was like, yep, that's the one I'm going to be drinking tonight. So Avery Brewing Company, Boulder, Colorado, Ellie's Brown Ale, very, very good.
We'll have to try that out. Doug out and I know a thing or two about brown ales.
Oh yeah.
All right, thanks for sharing that. I have another beer that I want to introduce before we end the show. So being that it's a Road Warriors episode, I was on the road in Orlando last week, family vacation, and of course I managed to find my way to a local brewery that was highly recommended to me, called Ellipsis Brewing, just north, about 3 miles north of the airport, Orlando. So I have with me a can of Ellipsis Brewing Milk District. It's a New England IPA with lactose, brewed with Denali and Citra hops. So I had this in their tap room. I enjoyed it, so I bought some cans, and here we go. I just popped this tab, and I'm going to pour this in. I found this a little interesting. It's kind of like that milkshake style with the lactose. Although there's not really any fruit. So 7% ABV, pours a nice hazy, like dark, like a amber, like a dark orange, nice snow white head that lingers. I can see really good lacing on the glass already. It's down to about one finger head. It was about a finger and a half. So definitely got that nice, sweet, fruity New England style IPA. You can smell lots of tropical fruits and high in the hop bill for this. I'm tasting it and I get a really nice smooth mouthfeel. I have a feeling there might be oats in this, but really pleasant taste of the tropical fruits. You know, I really like these hops. Denali and Citra are a good combination. It's a really nice New England style, typical, very high quality New England IPA with the lactose sweetens it up, and you get that kind of milkshake. I know a lot of people do these milkshake IPAs and they put pineapple and strawberry. I like it just this way. It's a hop milkshake. You get the little bit of sweetness from the lactose, really nice creamy smooth mouthfeel. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And even though I enjoyed a nice fruit beer earlier, when I'm having a New England IPA, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have the hops do the talking. And this one's a winner. It's really good. Wanted to mention the really great time at this tap room, Ellipsis. They were celebrating their 6-month anniversary, so they're relatively new to the scene, but everybody was talking to him about him in Orlando, and they had a promotion called 5 Days of Haze for every day. They released a new hazy IPA, and I think the last day they had actually all the different hop bills from all those beers in one beer, which unfortunately I was not able to make it on the last day, which was last Friday. But hey, I enjoyed a great visit there. Met 3 of the guys that work in the tap room. Great guys. One guy named Mike actually does another podcast, and I assured him that I would talk about that on our show. So it's called At the Bar Podcast. Let me pull this up on my phone, make sure I get the right info. At the Bar Podcast, and At the Bar Podcast is their Twitter. And he actually reached out to me at Michigan Beer Guy. Nice meeting you with Ellipsis last night. And so we could potentially do a collaboration podcast with these guys. A couple guys from Florida that really know their stuff. And what was really cool is I was seated at the bar, and one of the guys brought in a bottle, like a can of, I can't remember what they were tasting, but it was a really good beer from another brewery that, you know, just like we would typically do, hey, try this beer. And And I was next to these guys that were tasting it, and they were kind enough to take all seven people at the bar. They gave a little taste, and we had a little share, even though it was their personal little thing, and they included everyone, which I thought was really cool. Just really good people, good beer people, and they were kind enough. I was waiting to pick up a family member at the airport, and the flight was delayed, and they were very accommodating and allowed me to stay well past closing. So, but yeah, really, it's all about the beer with these guys. Everything I had there was fantastic. And everybody I talked to in the craft beer scene in Orlando mentioned them as a great brewery in the area that was doing great things. So, Milk District from Ellipsis Brewing. I'll bring some cans back for you guys to taste this one. It's delicious, and I'm really glad I was able to find these guys. So I'm sure I'm the only one here that's tried it. So we'll fix that when I get back. All right.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome. Looking forward.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. So, you know, just real briefly, I just wanted to mention one other brewery that I was able to visit. Don't have time to drink for all of them. But I went to one hit and run at a brewery called Variant in Roswell, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta when I was down there. Didn't have time to stick around in the tap room. It was on our drive-in from Atlanta, which was several hours. I had an angry wife and kids in the car, so I had to make it a real quick stop. Walked in the tap room. I said, just give me three crowlers of what your best three beers are. Started the tap room guy started filling me crowlers. He started giving me quick samples. He knew I was in a hurry. Turned out he was from Wyandotte, Michigan. He grew up in Wyandotte and was now working in the tap room at Variant. But another excellent brewery. Had a double IPA called Cashmere that was out of this world, brewed with Cashmere hops. So wish we had time to review them all, but I wanted to mention those guys, and especially thought it was cool that gentleman from Wyandotte served me my beer.
Cool, man.
Cheers to him.
So cheers to everybody out there working the tap rooms and being there for us when you're on the road. Yep. When you're traveling, I know sometimes, you know, obviously there's other family plans planned, but I always find time to get away for an evening or two and visit a local brewery and make some new discoveries. And really looking forward to coming back to Michigan in a week or so and sharing some of these treasures with you guys.
Look forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that about does it, I think, for this episode. Anybody have any closing comments? Just, if not, I guess everybody seems a little baked by the sun today, maybe?
Something.
Or just baked.
There is that.
Yeah, the energy level of today's show doesn't seem like it's on par, but, you know, it's 96.
Well, I do want to apologize if any of my profanity made it through to the podcast. That was not.
Well, it'll be the first time.
We are a podcast, so we are not subject to FCC regulations.
No, we're not.
Until I said, like, How Life is Here, I was not aware of my presence on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the technical things, and fortunately we have our technical team, Christopher Media, here to edit stuff like that out if they so choose.
Yeah,
might even be more fun to leave it in.
Maybe so. I'm all about it, but...
Well, great to have you on High Life, and we're really looking forward to trying that mild when I get back. I'll stop by and pay you a visit.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's on tap by then. Yeah, for sure. And actually, I still got a freaking 4-pack of your Kolsch in my refrigerator, so.
Well, I'll drink it.
You gave me the money for it, you just never got the beer, so I still got it.
All right. All right, everybody. Well, that should wrap it up for this segment of Road Warriors of Beer Nuts, episode 105. So thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast. You can find me at Michigan Beer Guy. Anybody else? One Hip Daddy O, I think, is Pete.
Yeah.
So if there's no more comments.
It's not well established enough to have a freaking Twitter and everything else.
No, so. but you know what? Our listeners can go visit you at North Center Brewing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Come
Northville?
There.
So just ask for Miller High Life.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You can ask for Dave. All right, everybody, let's go to Mexico. So as they say in old Mexico City,
if you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.